Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. And we'll be looking this morning at verses 1 and 2. Romans, chapter 8, and looking at the first two verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this time, Lord, we're so thankful for the privilege we have to gather in thy house with thy people. And dear Father, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts and open our hearts and minds to the great truths that are revealed within this very fact of the liberty we have in Christ. Speak to our hearts, I pray. And dear Lord, what's done, we'll thank you for it. For these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to today is our liberty in the Lord. Our liberty in the Lord. As you all know, on yesterday, we celebrated what was in fact a very special day to all those who are Americans, to all those who know what it is to be a part of the home of the brave and the land of the free. At least it used to be. It was rainy. It was miserable, but it was still a day that we could celebrate. The birth of our nation and what we have. Yesterday was the day when we celebrated our national independence and also hopefully reflected upon the freedoms that are ours and the freedoms that we still are able to enjoy. However, I must also say that I am beginning to wonder just how much longer that we will be able to enjoy these freedoms. We have a centralized government that seems to be taking our liberties bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit. And it's interesting to note that if they can't get it any other way, just issue an executive order and it's done. It's a terrible thing. Not only that, I cannot help but wonder how much longer it'll be before God's hand of judgment will fall upon this land. Look at the sin that we condone and embrace and encourage. And that's, you know, I'll have more about to say about that at another time. There can be absolutely no doubting that America is not what she used to be. And in many ways, she's nothing more than a shadow of what she once was. And, you know, it's a terrible, terrible thing when you look at it and consider what was once here. You know, for example, I read just this past week where I think it's Oklahoma, where they have been ordered to remove the Ten Commandments from outside the courthouse, a nice, pretty monument. In Kentucky, there's, I guess, the county clerk. There's being sued because they refused to issue marriage license. Now this one could be kind of fun to see how it turns out, because they cannot say she discriminated, because not only did she not issue same gender marriage license, she wouldn't issue a license to anybody. So she's being sued for that fact. That would have never even been a possibility a few years ago. I feel the judgment of God is coming on us very quickly. That being said, let it be said. that this is still the greatest nation in the world. I would rather live here than any other place. We have liberties still that the others can only imagine and long for. And I'm thankful to be an American. I only wish to point out there are things in this land that should be addressed and should be changed and should be straightened up. There can be no denying that we have certainly enjoyed the blessings of God upon this nation over and over again. He has blessed us in some awful, wonderful ways. Or I better be careful, or Clarence will correct me on that. Some magnificently wonderful ways. There we go. When I was thinking about the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, one of my greatest fears, I have to be honest with you, is with the generation we have coming up. And here's the thing I fear about a lot. Maybe not, I want to say the most, but there might be something else. And I understand that everybody has their own niche, things they enjoy. I understand that. And I also know that I'm at the other end of the spectrum, about as far as you can go. I'm extreme. I understand that as well. In as much as I love history. I read history. I study history. I enjoy history. I can remember a time when Elaine would walk in and went there when we were teaching in Hampton, and whenever I had the class working on something, she'd come in and she'd just shake her head, because just for enjoyment, I had my work caught up. I'd be sitting there reading encyclopedia. No, it was truth. But that being said, it is frightening to me to see how many of the younger generation has very, very little, if no interest at all, in our history. None. It's amazing to me how little they know about our history. And I say that just for this reason. If we don't know, if we have generations coming behind us, they're unaware of what we once had and even have now, it's going to be very easy for someone to take them away, because they're just simply unaware. I took a little test yesterday, one of the little Facebook quizzes. I liked most of them. And this was one to see how American you were. There's 21 questions, I think. And they, to be honest with you, they were very basic, very simple. And after it was all over with, it declared that I bled red, white, and blue. But the statement in there that got me is, as really basic as those questions was, it said I scored greater than 90% of the population that had taken that quiz. It is. It's very, very scary. That being said, the blessings that we have as a child of God far exceed the blessings that we have as a citizen of this great land. And yet many of them are taken for granted. Many of them are ignored. Many of them are not utilized simply because folks don't know them. They don't know what they have and what we have. We are a part of God's family. And as a result of being a part of God's family, we have all the rights and all the privileges that comes with it. We're not just on the fringe hanging on. We're not that adopted. We are adopted, and we'll touch on that here in a few minutes, but we're not that adopted child that everybody else don't like. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, are we not? And we're a part of God's family. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. And best of all, that this relationship is something that will never change in any way. The liberty that we have in Christ far exceeds in every way anything that man could give us or could do for us. While it's true that many of our Christian liberties today are under attack, it appears as though everybody has rights except the child of God. Everybody has liberties except the Christian. That being so, the blessing that we have as a child of God is something that they can never take away from us. Our basic freedoms and liberties that we have, no government, no agency, no heathen religion around the world can take from us. And these are some of the things I wish to touch on this morning. The first one is the blessing that we have of an undeserved pardon. Absolutely, completely, and totally undeserved. It's been granted to us. A question that has been around for a long time is simply this, and I've heard it, read it. What is it that a person has to do in order to go to hell? And I have found that that question arises from those who want to see how far they can go and still slide into heaven. The answer is quite simple. What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. You're well on your way unless you're saved. Why? Because every person is born with the fallen nature of Adam and thereby sinful. The Bible says that we come from our mother's womb uttering lies, doesn't it? You don't have to teach a child how to lie. You don't have to teach a child how to steal. You don't have to teach a child how to do anything that's wrong. You have to teach them how to do what's right. Because their nature is bent for wrong, just as yours and mine is. As a result of this, we were all separated from God. Aliens from the commonwealth of God. And with no desire for God. And actually didn't really care about our standing. There's a very definite fact that we cannot get away from. Every one of us, not just a few, every one of us was in that exact position. There may be some here today that are that way right now. But every one of us either were or are in that position. But because of Jesus, because of the blood of the Lamb, we have been set free. Liberated, if you will. If you're here this morning and lost, and God reveals to you that you're lost, my friend, you could be liberated today and totally set free from your sin. As a result of what Jesus did, we did not receive a reprieve. We did not receive a stay. Beloved, we received a complete and total pardon. Amen. And when we received a pardon, that means, beloved, our sins will never be held against us again. Totally set free, once and for all in that regard. Make no mistake. We were guilty of every single sin that was recorded against us in glory. Every evil thought, every evil deed, every evil action, motive, everything that we did was sinful. We were guilty of. Nobody standing before God falsely accused. We were guilty of it all. And we stood condemned for that very fact. And yet, Jesus paid our sin debt and washed us with His precious blood, which then brought about a pardon for our sin. What a blessing we have. A harsh reality that many try to forget is that every one of us was worthy of death and hell. Not only were we worthy, that was what we deserved. That's where we ought to be or headed toward. But Jesus gave us life. Jesus made that, set us aside, if you will, pulled us out and set us free from what we deserve. We no longer stand condemned in the eyes of God. Rather, we stand before God with the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us. And because of that, we stand before God justified. We've been set free from our sins. We have been pardoned from the penalty of sin and death that it brings. Now, sometimes we talk about it so frequently, and sometimes I fear we talk about it so lightly, that we seem to forget that not only God didn't set aside a fact, the fact that the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Okay? That wasn't set aside. Jesus took upon Himself the sins of all of His people for all time. And as a result of that fact, He paid the penalty for our sin. It did require death. He died in our place. It did require the shedding of blood. He willingly shed His blood for us to set us, to make us free. Jesus paid it and made us free. We're no longer judged as guilty and unrighteous because we've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So what should we do as a result of this? Beloved, I think that we should praise God far more than we do for providing what we could never, ever, 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 ever earn or deserve on our own. It wasn't there. It tickles me sometimes. You know some of the songs I've picked on, the way we sing them usually. Here's another one that really fits in this category. I've seen countless times, countless folks stand up and they begin to sing, "Praise Him, praise Him." No. Are we singing with praise in our heart? No. We should burst forth with praise. We should sing with everything that's in us. Don't worry about whether you can sing or not. By man's standards, it's acceptable to God, is it not? There's a reason why. Two things you got to keep in mind. There's a reason why the Scriptures talks about we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So that means it's not going to matter what man thinks about it, right? And secondly, you say, "I can't sing." Well, guess what? The Bible says we're to praise, doesn't it? And who created you with what ability you have to sing? God Himself, right? So don't let that stand in your way. Stand up and sing within you. In all songs, but especially songs we're talking about our praise to God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were yet ungodly," let me back up. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That one verse shows us, number one, that we were without any ability within ourselves to do anything about it. We were without strength. That Jesus, according to God's time, came and died for us, that we might have life. Our record is clear today. Man, think about that. Our record is clear today. You know, there's an old bluegrass song. And I'm not saying anything about most of the content of the song. But there is one part of it that's very true. You know, when he says, "My record's clear today, for He washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago, long ago." And I ain't going to go any further than that. But you get the gist. The account was settled. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that you're without sin today. I'm not saying that we may not have blemishes. But all we have to do is ask the Lord to forgive us. If we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? That's something we can count on and depend upon. Nor am I saying if you have marks upon your record that you're headed for hell. That was already taken care of when you were saved, right? But it will affect your rewards. It will affect things after you leave here. We are now accepted of God and we are absolutely no longer condemned. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We've been cleared. We are righteous. Our sin has been forgotten, never to be remembered against us again. And I want to drive a nail here for just a second. What's that tell us? Beloved, if you are saved, do not beat yourself up over what you did before God saved you. Don't beat yourself up over it. You may have done something after you were saved that you asked God to forgive you for. Don't beat yourself up over it. You can't live in the past, right? And let me assure you, I don't care what you may have done. God will forgive you if you'll just but ask. Why is it that we think about these things when we really don't want to? The devil puts and brings, he knows them too, doesn't he? And he'll remind us of them. Because you and I do not possess the divine ability to forget something and it just be gone. It comes back every now and again, doesn't it? Don't give it a home. We can't help the fact that it comes to our mind, but we can help whether we dwell on it or not. Let it go. Like the song, let it go. Why? Because the Lord has not only forgiven, but He's forgotten. It's over. And any time that you ask the Lord to forgive you of anything, it's gone. The slate is clean. What a blessed fact that is when we get to that. We are no longer viewed as hostiles before God. We're no longer viewed as an enemy of God. Why? Because of an undeniable position that we enjoy. The hope, the security, and the undeserved pardon are a direct result of an undeniable position that you and I have as a child of God. And that is, beloved, that those who are in Christ Jesus, that's the key, who are in Christ Jesus have been redeemed and totally forgiven by the blood of Christ. Today there are countless millions who stand condemned. And of those countless millions, most of them are religious in one form or another. But that doesn't change the fact that they're condemned because the only life there is through Jesus Christ, right? There's none to be had any other way or through no other form. When people are saved, they are immediately adopted into the family of God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you were a goat that all of a sudden when God saved you, you were made a sheep and adopted in the family. That's not what I'm saying. Before God saved you, you were a sheep. You were a lost sheep. You belong to God. But at the moment of salvation, you were adopted into the family of God. You know, think of it this way. There's always that three little things you can't forget. We are born into the kingdom, baptized into the body, and adopted into the family. And those are three things that nobody can take away from us at any time. As a result, we are now citizens of a far better land than we could ever imagine. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the scriptures declare, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And when it's talking about sons here, that's another one of the generic places. You could insert sons and daughters, but we're not changing the scriptures. It's the fact this is talking about gender neutral, isn't it? That's just the term that they used. You can talk about mankind, not not just men. The moment that we're saved, our position changes forever. Now, there are some events in life that once they happen, things are never the same. You know, sometimes it's life altering, but you're never the same person again. You know what? For example, once God blesses you with a child, you will forever, as long as you live, be that child's parent, right? Whether that child turns out good or whether that child turns into a serial killer, you're still that child's parent, right? That never changes. If something should happen, God would take your child home early. Well, my friends, you're still being that child's parent, right? That's one of those events. Speaking of which, I should have mentioned our niece. No, great niece. She was expecting twins, and she found out this past week that one of the twins died. So I don't know what the plans are for her, but pray for her. Heather Hunter is her name. And I probably shouldn't have said that where that thing's going, but be that as it may, pray for her. I can't imagine having to deal with a situation like that. But she'll always be the mother of twins, regardless of how the world would say it and look at it. Along those lines, our position has been changed forever. We are now adopted in the family of God. Nothing will ever change that in any way, shape, or form. A life that was lived in sin, a life that was apart from God and without hope, a life that was headed for hell as fast as it could go, was in an instant transformed and forever changed. We were gloriously saved. And as a result, we are now an heir of God and joint heir with Christ, as mentioned earlier. The old man that was within us is dying. He's not eradicated. We still have to fight him, do we not? But he was dealt with. And we were resurrected, a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new person. Thank God for that fact. Have you ever noticed why it is in many cases within a church? This isn't 100% thing, but within a church, if the son of the pastor, God calls into the ministry, and that child grew up in the church, that so often that church will not call that son to be pastor, or if they do, it doesn't end well. You ever notice what the reason that is? Because the membership of the church still think of him when he was young, and they still remember, in many cases, what a rotten brat he was. Hey, don't look at me like that. The reason why the pastor's kids is brats is because he plays with the deacon's kids. But, you know, it happens that way so often because they just simply don't forget. Likewise, I'll put it to you this way. Outside of one funeral, I have never, ever, 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 ever preached in my hometown, and I don't expect to. And to be perfectly honest, I don't want to. Why? Because folks up there remember me before I was saved. And there'd be a lot that would never get past. Things I did was wrong. Why is that so? Because folks have a hard time remembering that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And those things are now gone. Those things have now been set aside. Those things are no longer to be held against us. The saved are positioned in Jesus to one day be caught up together with Him. While it's true that we may never achieve much worldly success, we may never be regarded as something special by the world. However, as being sons and daughters of the Lord, we are part of something far greater than the world could ever do for us or ever give to us. To be pardoned by the Lord, to be positioned in Jesus, is the greatest thing that I can possibly imagine in this life. Think about where we are. Think about how we stand. Think about what's been done for us. This in and of itself would be enough, but there's so much more. We enjoy an unfailing presence. How thankful we should be for the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's something we never enjoyed before. That's something that was totally foreign to us before. Sadly, there are those who view this as a conditional statement. And what I mean by that is, their personal works has some part in their salvation. Their personal works has something to do with bringing it in. They interpret this verse as facing no condemnation just so long as we walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Many use this verse to support the doctrine of falling from grace and thereby losing one's salvation. The problem is they've missed the point of the text altogether. They've missed what God is telling us within the text. Think of it this way. Our works did not save us, did they? Our works had nothing to do with our salvation. It was by the grace of God. Therefore, failure on our part cannot cause us to be lost. If we can't do anything to be saved, we most certainly can't do anything to be lost, right? You say, well, what about the Bible says, well, there is one unpardonable sin. That's true. But I do believe with all my heart, based on what I read and know about our security in the Lord, that a child of God ain't going to do that. Because if that were true, then they'd be lost sheep. And that's, well, sheep that would be destined for hell. And that's not so. Think about it this way. Peter went so far as to deny the Lord. He said he didn't know him. Denied ever associating with him. But he didn't lose his salvation. God used him in a mighty way, did he not? This is not a conditional statement, but rather a positional statement. He teaches that Paul is teaching us here that the saved, you and I that know the Lord, walk in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And because of that fact, we are no longer dominated by the flesh, but rather we walk by the guidance of the Spirit. What a blessing it is. Looking at ourselves then and now, there was a time in our lives when those who are saved didn't do anything but desire to satisfy the flesh and did everything they could to satisfy the flesh. Why? Because they weren't saved. The flesh is what was guiding them. Now we desire to serve the Lord. Now we desire to please the Lord. Now we want to do what God would have us to do, whatever that might be. Why? What's the difference? We are saved and thereby indwelt by the Spirit of God, which guides us in the ways that we should go. He lives within our hearts. He guides our steps. And He convicts us of sin. The steps of a good man are what? Order of the Lord. And aren't you glad that He still lets us know when we step out of line? There's nothing in the world more miserable than a miserable Christian because of sin. Man, they are cranky, they're cantankerous, they're, you know, because they're miserable. The Lord has dealt with them. What this does for us is that we should be without, where would we be without the presence of the Spirit of God? None of us lives a life of perfection. We should strive to do so, but none of us make it. But God is conforming us day by day to be more like His Son. Paul teaches us this also in the book of Romans, being conformed to His image. The fact, beloved, is that we ourselves are our own greatest hindrance and our own greatest problem. Because of the things that we do that hinder ourselves. You know, I can't hinder you. The Bible does talk about being a stumbling block and that kind of thing, and I can do that. But I can't out and out hinder you from your service to God. You hinder yourself, right? I hinder myself when that happens in our lives. And we all bow the flesh, and will so as long as we live. But the Spirit can and will enable us to live life victoriously. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's a definite statement, isn't it? Galatians, I just read that. We may not be perfect, but we are indeed forgiven. And thank God for His unfailing presence in our lives. Not only this, we have unlimited peace. Paul talks about the law of the Spirit of life. And what he talks about in that statement is quite simple. Life is in Jesus and in Him alone. It can't be found anywhere else. Whatever our lives consist of, the whole of our being, our love, our joy, our peace, and even our walk is in Jesus and none other and no one else. You know, we had no idea what peace was about before we were saved. But thanks be to God, we now have and we now can enjoy it. I feel sorry for those who believe that they have to work long enough to be accepted by God. Those people who are trying to work hard enough to be accepted by God. And yet, the reality of the matter is that Jesus gives us perfect peace to be able to rest in Him. John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God don't work like we do. And He has given us perfect peace. And finally, an unending promise. Those who are saved have been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been pardoned from sin, as we've already looked at, completely forgiven and positioned in Jesus. We are free from the penalty of sin because of what He did. If you're saved, you're viewed as righteous before God. And we are eternally secure in the Lord. We can count on that. The sin of our past has been erased. As we look back at our nation declared its independence on July 4th, 1776. And we've been free ever since. That's a pretty good statement in and of itself. But we've been free ever since. However, that freedom hasn't come without sacrifice. A lot of brave soldiers gave their lives so we could enjoy the peace and the the freedoms that we enjoy. And we must remember that our liberty in America will last as long as God keeps His hand upon us. And the moment it's removed, so too will our liberty be gone forever. It isn't impossible to lose the national freedoms that we enjoy. And we're not like Israel. Israel was promised an eternal inheritance, wasn't it? We weren't. And it is possible to lose the blessings of God upon us, which is why this is a call for us to bring our lives back where they should be and to proclaim the things that we should proclaim. Another drastic difference is freedom for the child of God is altogether different. It is freely given to all of God's children. However, this also came at a great price. Jesus gave His life to secure our salvation and to free us from sin. However, we don't ever have to worry about losing the freedom that we have in Jesus. Our Savior secured our salvation forever. And in conclusion, looking at our lives, we all will and do face difficulties in our lives. There are battles to fight, things that we must do. But the thing that we have to remember, there may in fact in life be some battles we lose, but we will be ultimately victorious. God declared that to us in His Word, didn't He? We will be victorious. We have the promise of eternal life through Jesus that will never be taken away. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We have hope beyond anything this world can give. We have been promised a brand new body and an eternal peace and rest, free from sin and free from the cares of this life. What a promise we have in Christ. What liberty has been given to us through Christ. What a blessing it is to be an American. What a blessing it is to be a part of this great land. But what a greater blessing it is to be born again. What a greater blessing it is to be a child of God, eternally secure. And beloved, may we not hesitate to tell others about the Lord. May we not hesitate to tell others about what we have and what we enjoy. And may God help us to be a child that proclaims our liberty and lives like a child that is set free. Let us pray.